Going to be reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. Isaiah is one of those prophets that told a lot about Jesus coming. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice and with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Last Sunday, we talked about hope. This Sunday, we're going to talk about comfort. And have you noticed, people can be kind of funny sometimes. They do some crazy things. There's a story of a young man here a few years ago in France, and they didn't reveal his name. They just called him Romeo. He was wanting to woo his girlfriend. And so he put on his Santa suit, and he decided he was going to surprise her by coming down the chimney. Well, you can imagine that didn't work out too well. He kind of got stuck about halfway down. And after his girlfriend alerted the firemen, they came and wound up completely destroying the chimney to get him out. But out of compassion, the newspapers didn't publish his name. It's just one of those things that happened. And we've heard probably several stories about people trying to act like Santa Claus and go down the chimney and got stuck. We do some crazy things. People are funny. But this time of year, people can be very sad as well. It's a time of depression for some. People think about past events. They think about the past year, some of the unspeakable tragedies we have witnessed in the news and around the world. And every time we seem to think we are getting a hold of things and we're getting back on that mountain and the humanity is capable of building a good relationship on earth, we read one of those stories that breaks our heart. Every time we think pretty highly of our civilized world, we see a massacre in Bosnia or in Saudi Arabia or the federal building in Oklahoma City. We see humanity's inhumanity, and we begin to feel like an old Jew that was going to emigrate from Russia right before the Soviet Union broke up. And as he got to the border guard, he asked the guard, he says, do you have a globe? I'd kind of like to figure out where would be the best place to go. A little bit later, he returns the globe to the guard, and he says, do you have another one? And kind of, we get in that situation sometimes where we look around us and we see what's going on this earth, and we think, is there another one? Because we don't know what to do sometimes in our despair. We see all these things and feel helpless. We can't do anything about them. And things seem to be getting worse. And we just don't understand what's going on. So it can bring people down. Even at this time of year, it can sometimes bring people down. Isaiah wanted the people to know, wants us to know, that God says, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim that her hard service has been completed and that her sins have been paid for. And you and I, we could use the word comfort in the Advent season. Polls in the world show that we are the envy of the world. Everybody wants to come to the United States, but the United States has its troubles, just like anywhere else in the world. Some of the things we see in society around us are pretty disconcerting. And we wonder sometimes, what's going to happen next? How is our future? Am I going to have enough to retire on? And all those things that tend to worry us. Health, family problems, just the natural problems of aging and maturity. And they kind of get us down. There's a clinical psychologist, a professor named Rachel Riemann. She wrote a book called Kitchen Table Wisdom, Stories That Heal. And she tells about an event that changed her life forever. She tells about when she was about 13 years old, her father had to declare bankruptcy. And this was pretty devastating to the family. This was just right before Christmas. So they decided that they would make homemade gifts for each other in the family. And even though it was homemade gifts, and in spite of their financial situation, she says they had a very exciting, very festive Christmas morning. But as they're opening gifts, she notices under the tree a little box, one of those jewelry box things that flips open, felt looking, and had a bow around it. And she's looking at it, and she's looking at her dad, and she looks back at the box and looks back at her dad, and her dad says, "That's yours." So she picks up the little jewelry box and takes the ribbon off of it and opens it up, and inside are a pair of 24-karat gold earrings. Her dad says, "Go try them on." So she ran to the bathroom, closes the door, and she puts on those earrings, and she very cautiously looks at herself in the bathroom mirror. And she thinks to herself, "These can't be for me." She runs back out to the tree where she left her dad sitting, and she says, screaming at her dad, "How could you do this to me? I'm too ugly to wear them. How could you waste all that money?" And she threw the earrings in the floor and burst into tears. It was quiet for a little bit. Then her dad came over to her and put his arm around her and coddled her and says, "I know they don't look right now. I bought them because someday they will suit you perfectly." She says, "I'm truly grateful to have survived my adolescence. At some of its lowest moments, I would get out the box and look at the earrings. My father had spent $100 that he did not have because he believed in the person I was becoming. It was something to hold on to." Young Rachel was comforted by those new earrings because they symbolized her father's love for her. And that is the true meaning of Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's about love. And that's why we exchange gifts with one another. It's about loving one another. And we think about that word comfort that Isaiah uses on this second Sunday of Advent. And it tends to ease our minds somewhat. And there are other words that we can take away with us this morning. The first one is forgiveness. Isaiah says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for." And we know that our sins have been paid for by the life of Jesus. There was a story in the Little Rock newspaper a couple years ago, and it's about a young man named Joshua Martinez. Joshua made the news because he had shaved all of his blonde hair off. He had shaved his head because he wanted to make his mom feel better because she was going through chemotherapy for breast cancer and she had lost all her hair. So he wanted to make her feel better. He was doing this out of compassion. But he paid the price for that as he went back to school, he'd hear people hollering down the hallway, skinhead, KKK. He accompanied his mother because he loved his mother. He would go with her to her chemotherapy and give her strength. Her hair was her life. She wanted to look good. Even though he was spurned by his fellow students, and one day after school, a group of them walked up behind him, cursing him and accusing him again of being a skinhead. One of the students hit him on the back of the head. He elbowed that student, and the fight was on. Several other students joined in, and they beat the tar out of poor little Joshua. He wound up with a black eye, cuts, scrapes. And even after returning to school, other students continued to taunt him about his hair, which by now was out about a quarter of an inch. They didn't understand the reason why he did it, because he'd only told a few of his closest friends why. So they judged him wrongly and didn't know that it was out of love and compassion that he had done it for his mother. He suffered the beatings, the name-calling, the harassment, and all those things out of love and compassion. Now think about that. Think about someone else who did that for us out of love and compassion. Jesus went through all that. He suffered harassment and beatings and ultimately sacrificed his life on the cross. Because he loved us, had compassion for us, because God the Father loves us and has compassion for us, he went through all of that just for us. So the first word this morning we can talk about is forgiveness. God forgave us, though we were sinners, by giving us the love and compassion through his only begotten Son. Second word we can talk about this morning is presence. And I'm not talking about presence as in gifts. I'm talking about presence as being there. Isaiah says in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." God has come into our world. God has come to enter into our story to offer us hope. So the second word we can talk about this morning is presence. There's an army chaplain back in World War II who had been away for 2 years. He was finally coming home. He would have been home about Christmas Eve. He called his wife, let her know that he was on his way home, and if everything worked out, that's when he would arrive, late on Christmas Eve. They didn't tell the children that he was coming home. He was concerned that maybe if something happened between the time he left where he had returned to the States and got home, didn't want to upset them. Well, he got home late that evening. And then the next morning, the kids come running down the stairs, all excited about all the packages under the trees, and they were laying on this white sheet in front of the tree. And in their excitement, they noticed suddenly the white sheet started stirring. And Dad popped out from underneath that white sheet. And you can imagine the excitement that those kids had over seeing their dad after 2 years coming to them and being present with them at Christmas. They learned that it wasn't about the presents as in gifts. It was more about the presence of their dad. God is like that. That's another meaning for us about Advent. God is present with us. Emmanuel says God is with us. He is present with us. And in Advent, we anticipate his actual return to us physically, even though we know he is with us every day. God's presence is with us, and we are blessed by his presence. When Andrew McLaren was 15 years old, he was sent to work in order to earn his way toward college and find some other resources for the family. His dad walked him to work the first day, this Monday morning, and on the way from their home to work, they had to go through this ravine. This ravine was known in the community as being filled with evil spirits, and that if you walked through this ravine, those evil spirits would become a part of you. So people didn't like going through this ravine. But his dad walked him through the ravine to work. Everything was fine. But it worried him because he knew he was going to have to come back by himself at the end of the week. Well, at the end of the week, got off work, started heading back towards the house. He got to that ravine and he stopped and was worried about going through that ravine. All of a sudden, hears a voice. "Alex, it's your dad. I have come to walk through the ravine with you." And that's what God says to us about our uncertainties, about our worries, about those things that bother us. He looks at us and says, "Brother or sister, I am here with you to walk with you. I am present for you." Another story about that, I've got a bunch of little stories this morning, is about Beethoven. Philip Yancey tells the story. Beethoven was deaf, even though he wrote some beautiful music. He had the legs taken off of his piano and it was laid on the floor so he could feel the vibrations, and that's how he wrote the music. But anyway, a friend of his died, and he wanted to give his condolences to the family. But he was not known for his social graces because of being deaf. He couldn't talk very well. So he didn't like being around people because he felt humiliated. But he had to go to this family about the death of his friend. And when he got there, he noticed a piano in the corner. So he sat down, and for the next 30 minutes, he played the piano, pouring out his full emotions into the songs that he was playing. And when he got done, he got up and he left. The family later on would remark that no one else's visit had meant so much as him coming and playing the piano for them. So let me ask you a question. What means the most in our lives? Is it the presence as in gift, or the presence as in someone being there for us? I know when we're children, it's more about the gifts. But as we become adults, as we mature, we see that having someone there who loves you is the most important thing in your life. And God loves us, and He is present with us. Well, you may not be able to see Him, but you can feel His presence. You can hear Him whispering in your ear. He is present with us. The third word we can talk about this morning is love. Isaiah ends his prophecy with the words, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And that's a beautiful expression, representation of the love of God. And we think about the Advent season, we think about the Christmas season, and that is the true reason for the season. It's about love. It's about God's love for us. It's about Him caring enough about us to give us His Son and have His Son sacrificed on our behalf. I heard a preacher say here quite a few years ago that if you think about it, the reason for the season is not Jesus. The reason for the season is us. Because if we hadn't been sinners, there would have been no reason for God to send Jesus to us and sacrifice Him. So we are the reason for the season. We are the reason that we celebrate Christ's birth and coming, because we celebrate the fact that God loved us so much that He was willing to do that for us. Another little story about a little girl named Amy Hagedorn. She was a third grader. She had cerebral palsy. And if you've ever been around anybody with cerebral palsy, they aren't able to control their bodies like they normally would. She limped. She couldn't use her right hand. It really bothered her. It humiliated her. Came Christmas time, there was a radio station in town that was reading Christmas wish lists from children. She sent hers in, and as they got to hers, they noticed that it was kind of written in rough pencil, but she didn't ask for anything as a gift. She asked for people to not laugh at her, not make fun of her. She wanted one day that people would see her as a normal person. And when they read that letter to Santa on the radio station, they were moved by it. It wound up becoming a national news story and then a worldwide news story as far as Australia and Great Britain. There were some residents at a Kansas home for people with cerebral palsy that asked her to be a pen pal. The Philadelphia Eagles coach Rich Kotite sent her a football signed by all the players. There was a young man named Eric Grimm, 10 years old, in Staten, Oregon, who also had cerebral palsy. He sent a book to Amy that he had written about how hard it was for him to be accepted. "I know what she feels like," he said. In this book, Walk With Me, that he wrote as a 10-year-old, is still published and given out by the United Cerebral Palsy Association. He says, "I got teased all the time, and what she asked for was what he had wanted and finally had gotten." So on that special day, Amy got her chance to read that note herself on the radio station, along with the mayor and an appearance by Santa, who gave her a 3-foot Barbie. Afterward, she would tell people, "I think I had my Christmas that day." And again, that is what Advent and Christmas is all about. It's about comforting people. It's about seeing people as people, not their adversities, not their disabilities. It's seeing people as people and loving them for who they are. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And that's the word we have for this Advent season, comfort. And comfort comes from forgiveness. Comfort comes in presence. And comfort comes out of love. Christ came to us not because we deserve it, not because he approves of everything that we are or do. He came because of his Father's great love for us, for his great love for us. I know everybody's familiar with Handel's Messiah, and everybody thinks about Handel's Messiah, they think about the Hallelujah chorus. But have you ever really listened to the words of the Handel's Messiah? It goes like this. A solo tenor starts out, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Then he continues to sing, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then as it moves into an aria, it says, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill made low, the crooked straight and the rough places plain. Then you will hear the entire choir break into this chorus. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And that's good news for us today. The forgiveness that God gave us, the presence that God gives us, the love that God shows us. That's good news for us as we celebrate Advent, as we anticipate celebrating Christmas. We must remember in our hearts about loving one another the way God loved us, because that's what it's all about. Amen.